You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. 3 of President Trump's executive orders have focused on immigrants and refugees. Perhaps the ones most talked about are the so-called Muslim ban, the infamous border wall. But immigrants' rights groups are saying we need to pay attention to that third one for, quote, enhancing public safety of the interior, which calls for stricter treatment of undocumented immigrants. Karen Musallo is a refugee lawyer. She heads the Center for Gender and Refugee Studies at UC Hastings College of the Law in San Francisco. She came in studio and I asked her why she thinks this order is problematic.
Basically, what the Trump executive order on enforcement in the interior, there no longer are enforcement priorities. Or to put it another way, every single undocumented person is an enforcement priority. Equally. And so what you've seen over the last couple of weeks since this has been rolled out is you have seen the arrest and detention and deportation of all kinds of individuals who really, you know, should not be a priority. So we saw the arrest of a young woman who had been a recipient, had been a dreamer, a recipient of DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, who because of financial constraints had not been able to renew her DACA status in time. She went and she spoke out about her fears. Mm. She spoke publicly about her fears of deportation. She left the venue where she had spoken out and she was arrested and put in detention. When you see a young student who's causing no problems, who's, you know, maybe she was a little bit naive to think that she could exercise free speech and talk about her fears, but to see her arrested and then the ICE agents going to her home and arresting her father and her brother also. When you see mothers of U.S. citizen children being arrested, and you just see sort of this unleashing, and the expression was used by spokespeople of the administration, we're going to take the shackles off, and we're just going to go willy-nilly, and we're going to arrest people. There's kind of a cruelty to that and a lack of any policy justification. What is the policy justification for that? So that's one of the things very disturbing about the executive order is no longer do we have enforcement priorities to go against people who really, you could say there's a policy justification for it. We see something that is just indiscriminate and cruel and is causing incredible terror in the immigrant community. So children who are afraid to go to school and then come back and think their parents might have been picked up.
But this is what was promised to the base of the president, maybe a reason why many people voted for him.
You know, it may have been a promise that he made to the base, but he now is the president for all Americans. And I think what we have to ask is, how is it in the national interest? How is it in the national interest to pursue this kind of policy?
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm speaking with Karen Musallo, professor of law at the University of California at Hastings and director of the Center for Gender and Refugee Studies. What about the basic thing that may have been said to people in this base that these immigrants are coming in illegally? They're not coming in the right way. They're not coming in like the immigrant who applied for a visa and waited for years. They are doing something against the law, just like that basic argument.
Well, that basic argument, first let's take one of the most glaring omissions in that basic argument is that many of those individuals who came in unlawfully came in unlawfully because they were fleeing persecution. And actually, our law does recognize and accept the fact that people fleeing persecution would come in illegally. In 1980, U.S. Congress enacted a Refugee Act and explicitly said that its reason for enacting the Refugee Act was to bring the U.S. in compliance with its international obligations. That law explicitly recognizes that people would arrive at the U.S. border and be able to access a process to seek asylum. And many of those individuals who are arriving right now, day by day, coming from Central America are individuals seeking asylum. They're coming from El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala, which are three countries that have collectively, together, the highest homicide rate in the world of any countries not at war. In fact, the only country that has a higher per capita homicide rate than those three countries is Syria. There is zero recognition in anything that Donald Trump or anybody in his administration has said to recognize that individuals who are coming now or who may be present in the U.S. in an unlawful status are individuals who have fled persecution. So that whole rhetoric of why don't people just come here legally? Well, people have a right. It is their legal right, and it's their international right to come here and seek protection.
Is there a way to discern that? Is there a way to say this is the asylum seeker who is coming from, you know, dire circumstances, but this is the guy who just kind of wants to get into the U.S. saying he's the asylum seeker?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's why we have the screening process. Somebody arrives and they have to express their fear, and then they have to establish what's called a credible fear of persecution. And so, yes, there is a screening process. And before they would be released from detention, there'd be an even more extensive inquiry into what ties do they have in the U.S.? Do they have legal representation? Where are they going to be living? You know, might they be put in one of these alternative to detention programs, which we had under prior administrations? So, yes, there is a way to screen individuals. And it is not necessary to detain them. I should mention that I was a member of a federal advisory committee under the Obama administration, lawyers, pediatricians, psychiatrists, human rights experts. Our unanimous conclusion of our committee in this report was that families and children should The detention of families and children should be the rare exception, only in extraordinary circumstances, because the damage to families and children to jail them is just so egregious that this should not be a policy.
Is that happening now?
That's exactly what's happening now, and that's exactly what will expand even to even more extreme measures.